If you drove a white Ford Fusion, you may have your lights on. And if you get up and walk out now, people will think you're going to work with children. So you can lessen any embarrassment there that you might feel. So isn't it great to have all these children and their families with us? And so we're delighted to have you here today as well. Today I want to talk to you about a miracle moment. There's many times where we see certain words or certain phrases that are used in Scripture. And one of the phrases that I've been thinking a lot about is a phrase which goes like this. Let me make sure I say it right. My brain's in a thousand places right now. In that moment. If I said that wrong, then I know people would be calling me out on it. In that moment. So there's several times, if you'll do a word search for that phrase, and it depends on what translation you may be reading. Could be translated as, instantly or right away, but many will use the phrase in that moment. And we've often talked here about the power of a moment and how a moment can be meaningful. Last night, during the night, it was a little after 2 a.m., I heard a loud noise, and just in an instant, in a moment, I was already awake, or I probably would not have heard it, to be honest with you guys, because I can sleep through nearly anything. But I was awake. The Lord had awakened me, and I was just reading some scripture and praying and thinking about today, praying for Lois and her family, and just wham, I hear this noise. And, as a parent, you just never know what's going on in your house. And so and normally Christy is so much quicker to respond than I am. I mean, I'm just in dad mode, and I'm normally like, she's a first responder. She's quick to her feet, and she just, jumps into action. Normally I'm kind of like lagging behind. But at this moment, I just immediately jumped out of my bed. She's like, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know. I just heard a noise. Something fell somewhere." I mean, it sounded like somebody falling. And so, I go upstairs. I kind of sneak around in some bedrooms, and everything seems to be fine. Everybody seems to be alive. Nobody seems to be missing. There's no extra people in the house that I can find, and no fewer people in the house. And then I go out into the garage, and we have this these stackable buckets, and those, they were pretty high, and they had just sporting equipment and stuff in them. But the only thing that I could find is that it looked like those, for some reason, had toppled over, and it just made the loudest noise. And I was like, I'm going to remember that, because it was a great, great illustration of a moment that was a powerful moment. And it got me to my feet, and it caused me to spring into action. So one such passage that I want you to turn to is Matthew 3. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Matthew 3. If you don't, then listen, and I'll be reading it for you. So Matthew 3, I'm going to start with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, but do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." So you see that phrase I've been talking about there, at that moment. So Jesus was baptized and he comes up out of the water. So he's immersed. He's put down into the water. John brings him up out of the water. And in that moment, heaven opens up. Can you imagine the magnitude of that moment? Can you imagine what it must have been like, just the flood of emotions and the intensity of a moment like that, where you literally see the skies part and the Holy Spirit come down in the form of a dove and land on Jesus. Could you imagine if they carried their camera around with them everywhere they went, you know, and everybody's whipping out their phone and they're filming that moment, and it's a viral moment, right? I mean, just it's something that just catches your attention. And we just sang in the hymn that because we believe, others will know that he lives. And so you and I, we're the recipient of eyewitness testimony that has been handed down throughout generations. And so what we read here, what Matthew records, is an eyewitness account of what happens. And so when this takes place, at that very moment, heaven opens up, and look at the words that come from heaven. This is my son. You know, because of Jesus' death for us, he took our sin, and he gave us his righteousness. So we have right standing before God. And so when God looks at you, he sees a son. He sees a daughter. And look at the words that he says. He says, this is my son, whom I love. You know, that's the thing that really draws us to God. It says, the scripture tells us it is his kindness that leads us toward repentance. It's the depth of his love that he has, that he would send his only son to die for us, to demonstrate the love that he has for us. Even while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. And that's an incredible love when you really think about it. You know, we sometimes hold back on our love. We hold back because of hurt or because of difficulties that we've gone through. We sometimes have a difficult time trusting others, and we have a hard time loving people, if we're totally honest, because people irritate us. I mean, y'all are probably a lot better than I am. But you know what? People irritate us. They let us down. They hurt us. Even people, some of you, you've been on this earth long enough to have had really cared for somebody and really had a very close friend or family member, and you felt like they really turned away from you. Or maybe they lashed out towards you, and maybe you have been on the receiving end of some really not nice things. And so what happens? We put up a guard, we put up a barrier, and we don't love as fully as maybe we did when we were little. I have a little grandson, granddaughter too. I have four kids, you guys know that. But that grandboy, he smiles continuously. And you know, he's just a few months old, but he just now has reached that point to where, I promise you, the other day, he's reaching for me. And that's just a wonderful feeling, to have a little baby reach out for you to take hold of them. And it's like, oh my goodness, they recognize me. They know who I am. And we knocked on the door the other night, and our granddaughter, she squeals, and she comes running to the door to greet us. And you know, that's how children have an unrestrained love that they express. And you know, the Lord says that we ought to have a childlike kind of faith. I believe we ought to have a childlike kind of love also, where we love fully. He says, love everybody, but especially love the believers, especially love the church. And I got to confess, there's been some times in my life where it was hard for me to love others, and even hard for me to love the Lord. I questioned what he was doing, and I questioned some of the things taking place in my life, and my love grew cold. And he tells us in the book of Revelation, you know, one of the angels says to the churches, he says, return to what? Your first love. So I want to invite you back to the Lord today. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, we just want to take a moment as we reflect on Lois' fresh faith. I want to invite you back to that moment in your life. I want to invite you back to that moment that was full of life and full of vitality and full of hope and wonder. And because, you know, amazing things happen in a moment. In a moment, the skies opened up and the Holy Spirit came. And the Father above said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am real well pleased." So what I want you to do today is I want you to hear the Lord saying to you, "I love you." You know, we don't hear that maybe enough. Some of you, I grew up in a home where I never questioned my parents' love. And I never realized what a blessing that was. Because of that, it was very easy for me to receive God's love for me. I was saved when I was 11 years old. I was radically transformed. I was living a life of a thief, and I was robbing banks and stealing cars, and I was doing all kind of outrageous things, and I just had this dramatic... That's what I wished my story was. You know, when I was young, I was like, man, I wish I had an exciting story. Like Stephen, you know, I wish I was a really bad dude. But I wasn't. I was just a normal kid. And but you know what? It was a radical change because I was dead in my sins and I was separated from God. But in a moment when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, when he came knocking on the door of my heart and I opened that door and let him in, my life was changed. And I had always gone to church. I can't say we were never the first ones there. I was going to say we're the first ones there and the last ones to leave. Brenda, you know, my family was never the first ones there. We were like 20 minutes late. Amen? Yeah, we were the last to leave.
Except for me.
Except for Brenda. That's right, my mother-in-law. But my mom and my siblings and I, we were the last to leave. And so I always was in the church. But when I was saved, when I was born again, when I really received Jesus as Savior and Lord, my life was transformed. And all those stories I had been reading in the Bible, suddenly they were personal and they came alive. And God's Holy Spirit came into my life. And no longer was I having to try to be good. I realized I would never be good apart from Jesus. And Jesus came and he gave me forgiveness of my sins, a fresh start, a new beginning. And the scripture says he imputes to us his righteousness. So he forgives your debt and then he deposits his credit into your account of life. And what a radical transformation. And that happens in a moment, in an instant. And so I want to take you back to that moment today where you were born again, where you were saved. And you may not have clear details on that, may not remember it very clearly. Maybe it happened when you were a little child, and that's okay. You know, sometimes I've heard somebody say, well, I can relate to this because I'm not an early riser. But you know what? There have been days where it's like, I didn't see the sunrise. But I look around and see the light everywhere. And so it could be that maybe you were saved as a child and you don't remember the details, but you see God's Spirit at work in your life and he's put his love in your heart and he's overflowed your life with joy. So there's evidence of your salvation. But there's some in here that you've never really been born again. You may have even gone through all the motions, but you'll stand before the Lord one day and he'll say, "Depart from me, for you never knew me." And only you know your heart. Only you and the Lord know your heart. If you've been born again, I want to invite you back to that moment today and renew your faith and experience a fresh wind of the Lord's Spirit in your life. And receive these words in the same way the Father spoke them to Jesus. Because of Jesus and what he's done for you, he said, looks at you and he says, "I love you." So maybe you didn't have a warm, cuddly environment that you grew up in. Maybe you didn't even have a good parental example. But you know what? You have a heavenly Father who loves you more than you could ever even imagine. And don't allow the shortcomings of other people, whether it was your parents, other church members, friends, families, anybody else. Don't allow their shortcomings to keep you from fully receiving the love that God has for you in your life. So let's just come back to His love today. And let's fully embrace that. Last week I said the heart cannot rejoice in what the mind rejects as false. And so maybe you need to have a little retuning of your mind and receive these words and accept these words that He loves you. And He says, with Him I am well pleased. If you're living for the Lord, you're still going to sin. I've heard it been said before that you're not become sinless, but you will sin less. Kind of like that. I needed to hear that. Because I still struggle with sin. You're still going to struggle with sin. But you know what? The Lord is well pleased. If you're seeking Him and you're longing to live for Him, then He knows your heart and He knows the attitude and your posture toward Him. And He knows your struggles. And what a blessing to know that we don't have to be perfect. But the one who was gave His life for us. And then He will do in you what you cannot do for yourself. And then you can hear these words. At the end of our days, He's going to look to us and He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Or He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's our role, just to be a servant. And you know, you may feel like a failure, but if you've put your faith in Jesus and you're living for Him, you're not a failure. You're going to hear Him say, well done. And I want you to hear that today. Some of you, maybe you never heard that verbalized. Maybe you didn't have a dad that said, I love you. You have a Father in heaven who loves you, and He's pleased. And He'll look at you today and say, well done. I'm pleased. Man, that's a wonderful thing. That'll change your life in a moment. In an instant. Look at these other examples. Matthew 8:13, Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed, listen to this phrase, at that moment. Say that phrase with me, okay? At that moment. So at that very moment, the centurion, you may not be familiar with that story, but you can look it up in Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. He comes to Jesus and he says, I've got people who serve up under me, and if I tell them to do this and I tell them to do that, they get it done. And he said, I know that spiritually speaking, you can heal my servant and you don't even have to be there. You can make it happen. And Jesus said to him, go, let it be done just as you believed it was. And his servant was healed when? At that moment. Some of y'all are a little slow. We're going to get it. You need to lock into these words, write it down like I did. I've already demonstrated. At that moment, okay? Matthew 9:22 gives us another example. This is a woman who had been suffering for 22 years, the scripture tells us. That she had been suffering and she had had a medical condition, and she goes seeking Jesus. And Matthew 9:22, Jesus turns and he sees her and he says, take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed when? At that moment. Matthew 15:28, then Jesus said to her, this is another woman. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Her daughter was healed. You're praying prayers for your children, for your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, for your friends, your family. God is hearing your prayer, and in response to your faith and your faithfulness, God is working in the lives of other people. Do you know some of you are here today because you had a grandma pray for you? You had an aunt pray for you. You had a granddad pray for you. You had a parent who was on their knees every day, every night, praying for you. And at this moment, you are here. What we're looking at right here in this moment is a miracle moment in an instant. It is a divine appointment. And the reality is, none of us are here by accident. You might have come today because you came to see Lois get baptized. And we just sang a song that says, because you believe, others will know that I live. And it could be that you were inspired, that you were drawn here because of the faith of Lois or somebody else. But God has you here for a divine moment, a divine encounter with Him today and through the power of His Word. And maybe He just like when I was 11 years old and God was speaking to me and He's knocking on the door of my heart and I had a choice to make. Am I going to follow Him? Or I'm going to let all my friends hold me back. I was scared. You know, I tried walking the aisle one time. Some of you know this. When I was younger, I tried walking the aisle, and they gave me a pop quiz when I got down there. The guy looked at me. I was 10 years old, and he said, Brian, are you a sinner? And I was like, man, I ain't about to answer that question. Not in here. Where's my mom? She put you up to that? Because I'm like, as soon as I answer that, that can't go good. If I say, tell the truth, my mom's hand's going to come reaching out of some door somewhere, and she's going to whoop me. Mom, I'm sorry. I know you're watching today. My mom's a very gentle woman, but she would spank me if I needed it. But if I said no, then I'm like, I can't lie in the church. But I chose that path. I said, no, sir. No, not me. It's John over here. He's the sinner. That's who you're looking for. Maybe Moses. I didn't have a friend named Moses. Matthew. Maybe Jeff. I mean, it's one of those guys. I am not the sinner. No, I'm a good guy. I didn't even mean to walk down here. I'm sorry for bothering you. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go right back to my seat. So it was a year later when I was saved. Because then, at that moment, God started saying, you are a sinner. And apart from me, you have no hope. You can try as hard as you want. You're going to try to get it together. You're going to try to clean up your act. You're going to try to do the right thing. Guys, I was not stealing cars. I was not robbing banks. But I was disrespecting my parents. I was disrespectful to teachers. I was mean to my siblings. I mean, there were things that were happening. And even when I tried to be good, man, I would fail every time. And so it was at that moment when I got rejected at the altar by the church, I started asking those questions. And you know what? That question, it pricked my conscience. And my conscience began to convict me. And the Holy Spirit began to work on me. And I began to learn about the reality of sin, not just as a human condition, but in my life. And I reached a point that where really just dramatically, I said, Lord, I mean, in tears, I said, Lord, I got to have some relief. I can't run like this forever. Guys, at 11 years old, the gospel is simple. There's a simplicity to it that a child can comprehend, but it doesn't make it easy. Just because something is simple doesn't make it easy. Maybe the Lord's calling you today, and He's convicting you, and He's saying, you need to get right with me. You need to fully surrender. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you're realizing you've never had that moment. You know, I use the example of marriage. I tell people, I'm married. If you ask me, are you married? I don't say, well, I don't know. I think I am. I mean, I would be a dead man if I said that. Now, some of y'all, I know you went to Las Vegas and you don't know what happened there. And maybe you're like, I don't know if I got married or not. Not in this church, not in this crowd. But generally speaking, if I say, are you married, you know. And this wedding ring is an example of it's an illustration of the commitment that I made to my wife. And the baptism that you saw today is an outward expression of an inner change that has taken place. And you know, if you put this on and you're not married, this doesn't make you married. You could be baptized and still not go to heaven, still not know the Lord. But it's what has He done in your heart and in your life. And then when Jesus changes your life, you want people to know about it. You want to shout it from the rooftop that your life has been changed. And you don't need to hold that in. You don't need to hold back. For a while, I lived as an undercover Christian when I was a kid. But you know what? I was missing out on the joy of really living wholeheartedly for the Lord. Wholeheartedly, all in. When you get married, your spouse doesn't want half commitment. They don't want to, oh, I'll love you, you know, I'll honor you, I'll cherish you until, you know, till you make me upset or till I have a bad day. No, there's a level of commitment there. And the same is true with the Lord. Only the beautiful thing is he has said to you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with you. And we look back to him. Our love for him is in response to what he has done. The scripture tells us we love because he first loved us. And the reality is when you get a glimpse of the love that Jesus has for you, you can't help but to love him back. And so that's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be born again. See, it happens in a moment. And then day by day, he makes you more like Jesus. The Father makes you more like his Son day by day, and you walk in that salvation. But our salvation occurs in a moment. Listen to this. All right, we're going to practice at that moment, okay? Only a couple more times here. Matthew 17, 18, a dad brings his son to Jesus. And the scripture tells us, Matthew records these words, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. At that moment, he was healed. Now we're going to begin this, guys. I know y'all are a sharp crowd, so we're going to change this up a little bit, okay? So we're actually going to begin a statement with our phrase of the day, okay? So when I point to you, let's say it together. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split. Listen to this. This is in Matthew 27, 51. At the moment of the crucifixion, Matthew records for us this. Now, here's what's amazing. We see the baptism of Jesus, which begins his earthly ministry. Okay? He was already divine. He was already King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Some people teach otherwise. But his baptism was done as an example for us to follow. And it begins, it initiates his earthly ministry. And then, like a bookend from A to Z, here we have the end of his ministry, the close of his ministry. He's been crucified. He has given his life for us. And we have that same phrase, at that moment. Look, listen to this as I read. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And it wasn't a little cloth like this. I mean, this thing was, it was designed for, it was designed to last. And it was inches thick, okay? You're not going to tear that. And it's significant that it tore from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, and they went into the holy city, and they appeared to many people. I mean, this is like the first, what's the zombie show? Walking Dead. I knew you guys would know. You know, we got connections to that here. So. Shows you how clueless I am. I'm like, what is it? And actually, little side note here. I'm about to wrap it up. I've been singing a lot lately, and as I was trying to prepare for today, I just had a song in my mind. I'm going to give it to you. Do you want it? It'll be in your mind the rest of the day. Do you want the song? Okay, don't tell me I didn't warn you. Some of you are too young, you won't know it. This magic moment. Oh, man. Mickey's going to be singing that in the best this afternoon. This magic moment. Okay, kids, look it up. All right, Google it. Get Mickey to sing it for you after church service. But this is a moment here that, can you imagine what this moment was like when people are being raised from the tomb and they're running through the city and they are appearing to others? And that gets your attention. And it's like, what in the world is going on here? But this really happened. Verse 54, at that moment, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. And they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Man, you and I, we have so much more evidence than what they had, believe it or not. And God wants us to identify Jesus as his Son. Remember those words? He says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, who I love." And then the centurion, he is confessing that fact. So from the baptism to the resurrection, we see people convinced that Jesus is God's Son. And it happens in a moment. In a moment, a person is saved. In a moment, someone can be rescued. In a moment, a life is transformed. In a moment, we forgive. Because in a moment, we receive his forgiveness. In a moment, a couple is married. In a moment, a family can be restored. In a moment, hope can be reborn. In a moment, a life can be changed forever. In a moment, a heart begins to beat. Did you realize that at the beginning of life, scientists tell us that at the moment of conception, there's a flash of light? You think that is by coincidence? So, another word the Bible uses for a similar phrase is immediately. You guys know I love the book of Mark, and that's a word that Mark uses. He says, immediately the girl got up and began to walk. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left their nets. I'm reading the same verse. My apologies. Immediately the leprosy left and the leper was cleansed. Immediately a rooster crowed and Peter denied him again. Immediately the Spirit prompted him to go out into the wilderness. Immediately they left the boat, they left their father, and they followed him. So many times where we see things happen in a moment, they happen immediately. And what is God wanting to do in your life today? Maybe this is your miracle moment. It's right now where you lay it all down and you surrender to him. I don't know what that's going to look like in your life, but I know it's a decision you'll never regret. And I want you to know, when I was saved, immediately God received me, he saved me, and he began to work on me and change my life. But then there have been other times where he says, hey, you've gotten off course, come back to me. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin immediately and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John tells us that. So today, God's brought you here. What's he brought you here to do in your life? Make a commitment to him this morning. Let's pray together, please. Father God, we thank you for this moment that you have given to us. God, as we see, in a moment, great things can happen. Lord, you can change the trajectory of someone's life for all of eternity in a moment. Lord, you tell us that you'll come back for us and that in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be brought up with you. You will return like a thief in the night. So Lord, let us be prepared for that moment. Lord, let us make the most of every moment. Let us make the most of this moment before you right now. Lord, those who you're calling to make a commitment, whatever that may be, Lord, I pray we would respond in faith to your calling today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Beth, I think, is going to come up and lead us. I think Jody had to leave. Are we singing a cappella? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to try to sing a cappella. We're not going to sing what's written. So Beth's going to take a moment to figure this out.
We'll do Amazing Grace.
I love Amazing Grace. It's amazing. So in just a moment, we're going to stand to sing. We invite you, if you've never been saved, you can do that right where you're sitting. But you can also come, and I'll be glad to talk with you. I'll be glad to have other people talk with you and share with you, hear what's on your heart today. We'll spend some time with you, just like we spent some time with Lois a few weeks ago, talking after the service. And it was amazing hearing James talk about how God mapped out that day and put them right where he wanted them to be. and for God to really speak to Lois's heart that day. It's a great testimony. I'm sure he'll share it sometime in the future. But God's got you here for a purpose today. And so if you want somebody to pray with you, the altar's open for that. If you want to be a member of this church, then we invite you to come and you can join the church. Be glad to talk to you about that. I believe Lois actually indicated that she wanted to become a church member now. And so we're I'm making that public right now for you guys. I know you'll welcome her wholeheartedly. And so listen, after we sing a couple verses of Amazing Grace, I'll dismiss us in prayer, let you know of a couple things that are going on in the life of the church. We want to thank you for being here today. And I want to issue one other invitation today. And some people may have to leave. I intended for me to do this a little sooner, but it's right about noon. But I'm gonna give you a challenge today. Y'all gonna like this. There's somebody here today, maybe more than one. You put your faith in Jesus, maybe today, maybe in the past. You've never been baptized. I've got clothes. I have shirts. I have shorts, ranging in size from small to 3X. And so after this song, if you want to get baptized, we got a pool full of water. And the only thing that I require is that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ to follow him. Doesn't mean that you're going to be a member of this church, but if the Lord's speaking to you and saying, hey, you know what? You've never done that. The Bible says today. Don't put it off. Because you know what else can change in a moment? Opportunities can be taken away. So maybe here today you say, man, I've never done that before. This is crazy. We call it spontaneous baptism. What a great thing that would be. I've got clothes. I've got towels. I've got a room you can change in. I've even got a photographer who will take your picture for your friends and family so they will witness it for you if they're not here. So if you want to do that, invitation's open to you. As we stand, if that's your desire or if you want to do anything God's calling you to do, do it immediately. We don't have time to waste. We got to get to lunch today, okay? So, no, we got all the time. We got all the time you need. But if the Lord's prompting you, respond immediately. Don't delay, okay? So let's stand and sing a couple verses of Amazing Grace.
It's page 343 in your hymnal. Okay, y'all. I'll try not to sing it too low.
We need all the bass.
Okay. Amazing.